Well, good evening and welcome to the Brook Hill Church. Appreciate everybody who's here. Appreciate those who are listening on live stream. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate those that are from other congregations and places around the world that are still having the opportunity to meet with us this way. We hope that things will get better where you are. You'll be able to meet back with your local church. Okay, we're going to ask Brother Larry, if he will now, to lead us in our opening prayer.
That way, if you would. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you are a God of love, of mercy and grace, of goodness, of patience. Father, we also realize that you are a righteous God, that you are a jealous God, that you want the best from us. Father, we pray that you'll help us to live our lives knowing this. Father, we're grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for his sacrifice. We realize without him we would have no hope in this life, no hope of eternal life. But with him we have all these things before us. Father, we have those who are sick among us who need our prayers. We pray that you be the Briggs Michael. Pray that he will continue to improve. Pray that you be with Hannah as she goes through a rehab. Be with Sam at her upcoming surgery. Also be with David Hill, brother. Father, help him to put his trust in you and come to you with all his needs. Father, we pray that you will be with us through this study. We pray that everything we do here will please you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Rise and shine.
We're going to sing In Christ Alone. We've sung this a few times here, and so let's see how we can do with it tonight. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when things are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever close me from his hand. Though he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you. Well, good evening again. Appreciate so much everybody's here. Appreciate those that are tuning in. We continue now studying from the book of Proverbs and different subjects that it talks about. We've talked about the wise use of the tongue, the foolish use, how to use our monies. Now here, we're going to talk about pride. Pride is included in one of the seven things that God says he hates in chapter 6. There's 107 verses in the scriptures that talk about being prideful. Now the definition of pride is an over-high opinion of yourself. We all should have an opinion of ourselves, but this is an over-high opinion of yourself. It's an exaggerated one. It's the idea of self-esteem, and it also includes being conceited. Now, when you show pride, you're behaving usually in a haughty way or an arrogant way. Here's something interesting about the word pride. It may be the only word that this happens to in the Bible. The Bible, of course, has, when we look at different words that are used and how they're used, most of the time, the world takes a joyous word, a word that means something righteous, and now they just use it in a bad way. Sometimes they use it in a vulgar way. They take a good word and they make it bad. And we understand what sometimes people have done with words like that. Pride is probably the only word in the Bible that was used in a bad way that today we use it in a good way. And I'm not saying you shouldn't use it, but today it's taken on a good sense. You take pride in your work. Or, and we say to somebody, I'm proud of you. It was never used like that in the Bible. It's probably, as I said, if you can think of some others, tell me. I was trying to think of some that were used in a bad, that were good words, or bad words, I mean, that we've changed and made them good. Now, to remember again, everyone needs to have a healthy sense of self-respect. To think you're a nobody and you can't do anything, or you're just a complete loser, that's not the feelings that we should have about ourselves. We're all made in the image of God. Now, we can't do everything, but with God's help, we can do some things. We can contribute to society. We can make it better with God's help. And, of course, that's the idea of having a healthy self-respect. It's okay. It's okay to have proper respect and satisfaction with your life. It's okay to be satisfied and have a good feeling about yourself when you look in the mirror and you say, you know what, I'm dressed in the proper way. Or your language. Or to say, you know what, we have a nice house. Oh, I've got a good job. That's a healthy self-respect. But we can't flaunt what we have. Because the things that we do have, they don't make us better in God's eyes. You may think they make you better in the world's eyes, but not in God's eyes. When we exaggerate now how good we look or how nice our things are, or how good we do a job or something like that, that's when pride enters your life. And when pride enters your life, it's a sin. Being prideful, the Bible says, is a sin. Look at Proverbs now, 21:4. Proverbs 21:4, the Bible says pride is a sin. A haughty look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked are sins. It's a sin to be prideful. That's why the Lord says he hates it. And it's, what's interesting, it's also a sign that generations have. A generation that's raised with, we know, with not being told. That, again, this is addressed to young people, the book of Proverbs especially. And they're trying to say, if you're full of pride and we don't do something about it, you're going to have a whole generation that's going to be prideful. Look at Proverbs 30 and in verse 13. That's what, for at the young age, we've got to make sure we don't teach people. We teach them not to be prideful. 30 verse 13. There is a generation, how lofty are their eyes. That means there's a generation, they're full of pride. And their eyelids are lifted up. There is one. We've got to make sure that we're not that one. And our children aren't involved in that one. And pride is an avenue how the devil tempts us. Do you remember? We won't turn there, but in 1 John 2, it talks about lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's one of the three ways the Lord, and again, under lust of the flesh, there's lots of things that are in that category. Lust of the eyes, desire, and improper desires, that's, we can fill all that category. And pride of life, that's how the devil tempts us. Now, what's the consequences of being prideful? Well, first is, when you're prideful, you put yourself up and you put God down. That's the first thing. You elevate yourself above God. Look at Romans 1, 21. Here's a good example from the New Testament where the people knew God, but they put themselves above God because they thought they knew it all and they were the leaders. Look at Romans 1, verse 21. Romans 1, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So they knew God, but they became fools. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Here's God, and instead, what do? They put themselves above. They said, well, we're going to make a better God. And our God's going to be better. It's going to be a half man, half animal. It's going to have wings, all these kind of things. When you fill yourself with pride, you put yourself up and God goes down. Romans 12 also in verse 3, look what it says. Romans 12 and then verse 3. Romans 12 and then verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to be serious, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't exalt yourselves. Don't exalt yourselves. And what happens when somebody exalts themselves and puts God, they seek glory, not for God anymore, because they're up. When we put God where He should be, remember we're told, whether you eat, sleep, or drink, whatever you do, glorify God, because He's up here. But when you put yourself up there, everything you do is for you to get glory. Look at Proverbs 25, 27. 25 and 27. That's why we have to stop it at an early age and make sure that we don't put it back into our life. 25, 27. It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. For someone to think, well, you know, I'm special. Well, who thinks you're special? If you think yourself, you're the only one, you're not special. So the first thing is, the consequences is you're going to put yourself up and God's going down. Second, you think you're better than others. That's what happens. You start judging other people. Oh, they're inferior to me. I'm smarter than they are. I'm a better athlete than they are. And in fact, what you end up becoming, the Bible even talks about it, you become a snob. That's what you become. You think you're better than others. Look at Proverbs 26, 12. Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Look what it says about a person who thinks he's better than others. 26, 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. We know what's going to happen to a fool. A fool doesn't even believe in God, so that person is going to have a rough time when he meets the Lord. But someone who's full of pride, wise in his own eyes, the fool even has more chance than that person of being pleasing to the Lord. Do you remember back in Philippians, we won't turn there, but Paul says, remember, esteem others better than yourself. Others are better, but not the person who's full of pride. He thinks he's the best. Do you remember in Luke 18, there was a parable about the two men praying? Oh, I pray all the time. Prayed out in the public. Look at my prayers. I'm not like these other guys. And the other guys, what were they praying like? They're praying by themselves, quiet, in their own room, in a closet, that idea. The prideful, look at me. You think you're better than others if you're full of pride. Third thing, you become a braggart. They brag about all the things they've done. And you know what? They might have done some good things. They might have done some good things. But why do they brag about what they do? So that they can get gratification. They can get gratification. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 2. Look what Paul says here. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 2. In verse 1 it says, in the last times, in, you know, the times before the Lord comes back, look what the people are going to be like. Know this, that in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, 1, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. There's a prideful person. Lovers of money, boasters, and proud. That's what they're going to be like. So you don't want to be like that. But a person full of pride, he's a bragger. He's a bragger. And you're hard to convert to Jesus. Someone who thinks that they know more than anybody else. Somebody who won't listen to anybody else. They know it all, that kind of an idea. You're going to have a hard time teaching them how to become a Christian. And if they are a Christian, you're going to have a hard time bringing them back if they fall away. Do you remember what Jesus said when we're talking about the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Again, we understand when someone has no money and they're poor physically, they need help. And a poor person will come and say, will you help me? I have nothing. I need some help. I can't do it on my own. That's what a poor in spirit person is. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I can't get my sins washed away. Will you help me? But you see, not the person who's full of pride. They have all the answers. And in fact, they don't even think they're a sinner. They're not even sure there is a God. And if there is a God, he's not very smart. Matthew 5 and verse 23. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew 5 and verse 23. Yes, it's hard to be full of pride and to be a faithful servant. Look at verse 23 of Matthew 5. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. The Lord said, you're going to make a prayer to me or whatever you're going to give to me. If you've done something wrong, you're going to tell me you're sorry. Person full of pride won't. I'm not telling anybody I'm sorry. I'm better than they are. Sure, I made a mistake, but they make way more mistakes than me. You see the problem. You're hard to convert, and it's hard to bring that person back. And another thing, you don't help anybody else if you're full of pride. Because your life is what, hey, I didn't come to serve others. Don't you know who I am? I came to be served. They're not going to clean up someone's house. They're not going to cut the grass. They're not going to take someone to the grocery store. Do you think someone who's full of pride would wash Jesus' feet? You think they would do that? They would have done that. Or they do it today. And of course the answer is no. The person who's full of pride, they think they're supposed to be served. Sometimes we say things like, well, who died made you king? You remember that? Who died made you king? That's what the braggart thinks, and that's what the prideful person, they think that you ought to do everything for them. But probably the saddest thing, the consequences, it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction physically, because you're going to probably cause all kinds of troubles in your life. Not only that, it's going to cause you emotional problems usually. And finally, of course, spiritually. Look at Proverbs 16:18. That's exactly what it says. The Bible doesn't say a lot of things bring destruction in your life. We know that there are certain things that are going to cause destruction. But look at 16:18. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride, you're going to be destroyed. Just think about that. No one wants to. Would you buy a house that's going to be destroyed in a little bit? No. Would you get a car and say, you know what, that car is going to be destroyed in a little bit? No, you wouldn't do that. But you have pride. Look at 29:23. What will it do to you? 29:23. And in so many ways it'll do this. A man's 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low. You'll be poor. Nobody will want anything to do with you. We can even add some other things. You won't have too many friends. Nobody will want to be around you. No one's going to want to hire you. No one's going to want to buy your product. You just won't have any friends, any associates, because you think you're somebody that you're not. And when you think about the Lord, look at his attitude that he had towards others and how others flocked to him. Why? Because he wasn't full of any type of pride. Remember 1 Corinthians what it says? Take heed lest you fall. Prideful person never thinks they're going to fall in the physical way or spiritual way. But we all need to do that. We all need to realize, hey, no matter what position, what job you're in, what situation you're in, it can fall apart. And so you need help. And that's why, of course, you need God's help. God hates a person who's full of pride. Just think that. Think about that. God hates, if you're full of pride, God hates you. Proverbs 15:25. He loves your soul, but he hates what you're doing. 15:25. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Now that's two ways you can use it. The house referring to the body. Your body will be destroyed. In a lot of ways, emotionally, and of course spiritually, it's going to be destroyed. And 16:5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now that's enough right there. I mean, that's enough right there for a person to say, look, look at the consequences. You put yourself up and you put God down. You think you're better than others. You become a braggart. You're hard to convert. You won't help anybody, and it leads to destruction. So I hope all of us, and I think we did before we started, I don't want to be a braggart. I don't want to be full of pride. So how do you fight it? Because the first thing a prideful person, I don't have to worry about being prideful. I'm not going to be prideful. That means they're probably prideful. But we got to make sure that we fight against it. And it's hard. If everybody tells you you're so good, especially when you're young, you're so good. You're the best athlete I've ever seen. You're the best student. You're the best band member. You're the best child. All those things. I'm not saying you don't compliment them. But if they're always told how good they are, they're going to start believing it. Everybody, any little child would. And we've had some people probably in our lives that have been like that. We got to be careful. We got to fight against it. We don't want our children to think that there's somebody in that way special. But they're special because they're made in the image of God and they live a good life. How do you fight against it? Well, the first thing is you got to see it's a sin. And if you ever get prideful, if you do something to be seen by men and it could sneak up on us, you got to say, I'm sorry, please. Please, Lord. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be full of pride. Please help me. But the main thing you got to do is this next one. You got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. And that's what you said. That's what you did before you became a Christian. You said, Lord, I'm lost. Please help me. You got to humble yourself. And even if you win some accolades, and that's fine. You get a lot of accolades. And those are good. You do like a lot of people do. I tell you what, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here. I thank my family. I thank your friends. Thank people that helped you get. Like an athlete wins, he goes, well, I'll tell you what, I want to thank my coach. I want to thank my players, my buddies. And that's what you say. You thank the Lord. I want to thank my Bible class teachers. I want to thank all the different things. This Sunday morning, I want to preach about being thankful. I hope it's my Thanksgiving lesson. But after I got it together, I said, I can't wait 2 months to preach it. We got to, in case something happens before the next 2 months, we got to be thankful. So I hope you'll be here. I have some slides from when I went to Jamaica about the brothers and sisters there. And you got to see these slides. You got to see them because they'll change your life. You probably can't get there, but anyone who's been there changes your life. So we'll talk about that. But you humble yourselves and you be so thankful. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. 3, 5 to 7. Here's what it says to do. How do you humble yourself? First, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first thing, remember? The other person thinks they know it all. You trust with everything. Lord, I know you're going to help me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think you know it all. It's not in the way a man to direct his steps. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. That's what the humble person does. Lord, please help me. I just need someone to help me. Show me. Of course, that's what we have God's word for. And then finally, don't be wise in your own eyes. That's our next point we're going to have. But you fear the Lord and depart from evil. Have respect for God. And look what Proverbs 15:33 says. 15:33. The fear of the Lord, that's God, respecting God, is the instruction of wisdom. That's right. And before honor is humility. You want the Lord to honor, raise you up and honor you as a home in heaven, then you're going to have to be humble first. He raises you up, not pride, but being humble. You got to be humble and be thankful. And that's what for the little children and the kids as they get older, teenagers and all, we teach them. You did a good job, but you be thankful. One of your teachers helped you get those A's. Your coaches helped you in sports. Your parents, your friends, your brothers and sisters, all those people helped you. And you try to keep them, as they, a lot of times people say, trying to keep them level-headed. Next, as I said, as we've been talking about, you got to be wise. 11:2. 11 and verse 2. You got to be wise. And realize. In 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. See, we're told you got to humble yourselves. And when you humble yourselves, the first thing you'll do is you'll be wise. You'll turn to God. If you don't humble yourselves and you're full of pride, you're going to turn to yourself and not God. Be wise. You've got to realize you're not so smart. And you're not so pretty. And you're not so strong. And you don't have all the answers. And that's what the wise person. So you have to get some help. And if you do get success, it's not, I told you I'm smart. No. People helped you. People helped you. I'm working on a lesson coming up in the next weeks about, for all of us, everybody's going to just stop and look at your life and think of about five people that helped you get where you, if they weren't in your life, you probably wouldn't be where you are today. Or you wouldn't be in the same condition, say. Just, you know, think of five people. The first person I would come to my mind was always Don Bass. That's the first preacher I ever heard. Brother Bass has gone to be with the Lord. I tell you what, I would not be, I don't think, preaching as I preach today. I think I'd be a Christian. I think I had that in my heart, and the Lord knew that. But as far as wanting to preach and the ways I do things, Brother Bass, I wouldn't be here. I'm not here because I'm so smart, and I got so many great abilities, and I came from a great family, and all those things might help me. But no, I'm here because people help me. So we're going to think do about it. You start thinking about that. And we're going to talk about what can I do? What can I do for these people? Because someone helped us get here. And that's like when we get saved. What did you do to be saved? What did you do? I'll tell you what you did. You humbled yourself. And then you were wise. You feared God. And then you obeyed. And then you still, by God's grace, that's how you're saved. What do you got to do? See the rewards. What do you get? Proverbs 22 and verse 4 tells us. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Here's what you get. We talked about you got to be humble. And you got to fear the Lord. What do you get? Riches and honor and life. in a physical way. You, as David said, he was young and old, never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. You'll have enough to eat. You'll be taken care of that way. You'll have honor. People will respect you. A good name is worth more than rubies. You'll have a good name if you're not prideful. And you'll have a life. All things in together. There might be some diseases and things like that, hereditary things that might come in your life. But that's what you get. Now think about spiritual riches. You'll get spiritual riches, all the blessings. You'll have an honor. You're in the Lord's family. And you'll have life eternally. That's what awaits us. And that's what we got to think about, the rewards. Look at Proverbs 8:13 now. Last couple verses, 8:13. Here's what it says. 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Remember, God hates people full of pride, thinking they're somebody that they're not. Think of who you are. You're made in the image of God. And it's okay to say, you know what? I think I'm fighting a good fight. I've examined myself. So I'm going to take the Lord's Supper. I think I'm worthy to take the Lord's Supper. It's a blessing and it's a privilege, but I'm going to do it. And again, that's not being prideful. And you're thankful with your head down as you take it. Finally, look at 1 Peter 5. You're familiar with this verse, but it's the best verse. They end up talking about pride. 1 Peter 5 and in verse 5. And it's addressed to the young people, just like the book of Proverbs. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you young people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. That's how you fight. And that's what the Lord thinks about being prideful. Young people, he says, I tell you what, be humble. Start at an early age, because God does not like people who are full of pride. And he's going to give grace. He's going to give his favor to you. So go ahead. Humble yourselves. Don't think you're higher than what you should. And then in due time, God will exalt you. He'll help you as you grow. And of course, on the last day, he'll help you with a home in heaven. When a person becomes a Christian, they have to have the characteristic of being humble. They have to realize, as poor in spirit, I need your help, Lord. I can't take away my sins. And when a person repents and makes the good confession, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they humble themselves. Even in a physical way, someone else controls them and puts them under the water and brings them up. And now, thank you, Lord, by your grace, my sins have been washed away. And then they humble themselves. I got to fight the good fight now. I got to have God's word. I got to have the brethren to help me. I've got to have all kinds of people to help me, because it's a tough fight out there. You got to humble yourself. And if you keep that humbleness and then continue to use it, pride will stay a long way from you. So let's all realize, and I think we all did before we started, that it sure isn't a good idea, and it sure is not God's plan for us to be full of any kind of pride. Well, as a song we're going to sing says, there's power in the blood, but it's only given to those who are humble themselves and reject any kind of pride in their life. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a child of God, you've got to humble yourself. Get rid of any pride and tell the Lord you're sorry for not glorifying him in all that you do. And if we can help anybody in any way to do that, we'd love to do it. Right now, while we stand and sing.